As I said, this lesson entitled The Hope of Heaven, Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul talks about our heavenly home. He says, "And then, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, in glory, sealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For on account of these things, the wrath of God will come upon the children of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your lips." Like several other places where Paul calls them to remember what they used to be, and now to remember what they need to be. And this one here involves keeping our mind on the right thing, and that right thing is heaven. Keep our minds on heaven. It is a real hope. The writer of Hebrews referred to it as the anchor of the soul. As we get tossed about in the storms of life, and they come to us in various different forms, we need something that will ground us, something that will get us through that when it looks like nothing else will. And that does not take away from the encouragement of fellow Christians and friends and others who try to help us when these times come. But there is a need for something beyond that, and in addition to all of those things, and that is the hope of heaven. That someday this is going to be over, and that we won't have to be dealing with this. And it's based on a promise that God has made, that has been revealed, of course, in his word, and it has been carried out in Jesus Christ. If we are in him, if we've been raised up, as it says here, with Christ, then seek these things are above. That's the purpose for Jesus coming into the world, to give mankind hope of eternal life, to provide encouragement in this life, to give us something to look forward to, because if all there is this life, that's not very much. Alexander Campbell had a debate one time with a fellow named Robert Owen. And Owen came to Campbell's farm. Campbell was an atheist, or Owen rather was an atheist. And he came and spent some time there with Campbell on his farm. And one day they were out walking out in the pasture, and the following conversation took place. In one of their excursions about the farm, they came to Mr. Campbell's family burying ground. When Mr. Owen stopped and addressing himself to Mr. Campbell said, "There is one advantage I have over the Christian. I am not afraid to die. Most Christians have fear in death, but if some few items of my business were settled, I should be perfectly willing to die at any moment." "Well," answered Mr. Campbell, "you say you have no fear in death. Have you any hope in death?" Good question, wasn't it? After a solemn pause, "No," said Mr. Owen. I remember Owen's an atheist. Then rejoined Mr. Campbell, pointing to an ox standing near, "You are on a level with that brute. He has fed till he is satisfied and stands in the shade whisking off the flies and has neither hope nor fear in death." Pretty blunt, wasn't it? But he was right. A person truly an atheist, what do they have to look forward to? Nothing. Now, we know what's really ahead for them, but from their perspective, they've got nothing. And this particular atheist had to admit that. What do we mean by hope? Webster says it's desire accompanied by an expectation or a belief in fulfillment. In other words, you've got those two elements, desire and expectation. If you don't have either one of those, then you don't have, by definition, hope. There are some things we may desire. We don't hope for them because there is no expectation of them ever coming true. I don't hope for a full head of hair. I used to have it now. I got pictures that would prove, but I don't have hope for that anymore. I'm not sure I even have a very strong desire, but I know one thing, I don't have any expectation of it. That's for sure. So I don't have any hope for that. See, you have to have both elements. And there's expectations I have that certainly I don't desire them. I expect that the old bones in this body are going to even get more sore than they are now from time to time, and they're going to ache and they're going to hurt. I expect that to come. I don't desire it, so I'm not hoping for it. You see the point. It takes both those elements, desire and expectation. Webster gives synonyms such as trust and reliance. Yeah, we can trust in it. Now, we're not talking about just wishful thinking, because Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 that hope does not disappoint. We hope for things, and we are not going to be disappointed. That hope, Paul is telling us there, is something that's real. It's not just something we have invented that we're just kind of hanging on to. We're not really sure. No, it's steadfast and it's sure, again, as an anchor of the soul, Hebrews chapter 6. But here in Romans 5, verse 5, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We can have hope and not be disappointed by it because God said so. And because his past actions have proven him to be reliable so that we can trust in whatever he said. We believe that Jesus is going to appear, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And a lot of times that's the point we're trying to make, so we stop. But Paul goes on to say, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us, that we might be redeemed from every lawless deed and purify himself a peculiar people. We can have hope in this. We can trust in this. We can rely on this. We can expect that heaven will be our home. Just as Abraham wandered about, living in tents, with the hope, not just the desire, not just the expectation, but with the hope someday of finding a city whose builder and maker is God. And again, as we talked about, it's not some earthly kind of city that he was looking for at all. But we can expect it to happen. This hope is joyful. Joyful peace. Like Paul, we can rejoice. Back in Romans chapter 5, that's some of the verses right ahead of what we looked at already. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. We can rejoice in this. And not only this, but we also exult in tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Now here's this chain of things Paul puts together. Perseverance, proven character, hope. As odd as it may sound, persecution helps us to have this hope because it purifies us. It forces us from time to time when we're being persecuted to reinforce the decision we made to begin with, that we made the right decision, and that hope then is real. It's out there for us. We can, to put it another way, as Paul in the 15th chapter said, abound in hope. Not just have a little bitty hope, but we can abound in hope of what God someday is going to reward us with when this life is over. So we can have peace, peace of mind. But we have boldness. This can cause us to use the great boldness that we have. Paul said he had it, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul was certainly troubled on a lot of things, on the left and on the right, by different things. But he had hope, and that's what got him through it. He talks about the things that here ahead of that, the ministry of death that was put aside, that we now have a ministry of life through the gospel. Now then, get down here to verse I'm looking at, verse 12. Having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. Paul could be very confident about what he said because of the hope that he had. You know, it's I was thinking of this. I heard something on the radio the other day. I was listening to somebody trying to explain something away that you couldn't explain it away. And they were just, they were getting everything all jumbled up, trying to make a defense of this particular thing, and I wish I remembered what it was, but I don't. But it caused me to think, you know what? Isn't it nice when you're defending the truth? Whether it's truth that you have told and someone now has called it into question, or whether certainly, more importantly, the truth of God's word. It's easy to defend the truth, whether it's the truth you have spoken or whether, as I said, it's God's word. But it gets real difficult to explain a lie. You got to be pretty good. You got to be pretty good at gymnastics, used in the proper sense, of course, linguistically. You got to be pretty good at juggling your thoughts to explain something that is not true and try to explain it away. You got to really work hard at that. But the truth is so easy and simple. Paul said he had great boldness here. And that was because of the hope that he had. That's what gave him that boldness. Be ready to give an account, Peter said, of the hope that is within you. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. What that means is, put Jesus on the throne. Sanctify him as Lord in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is within you. Always ready to give that answer. Someone wants to know, why do you have such a joyful outlook of eternity? Because I have hope. I have hope. It's something better. I tell you what, if you don't want to talk about hope very much, then don't get around to Steve Grumman, because that guy just talks about it all the time. Every time I'm with him, he talks about the hope of heaven. He talks about how great it's going to be. Imagine that. So if you don't ever want to hear about the hope of heaven, don't spend time with him. Well, there might be other reasons you want to, but I'll tell you right now, if you spend much time around him, you're going to know about the hope of heaven. It's almost infectious. So if you don't want to hear about it, don't talk to Steve. I can put him on the spot like that because he didn't care. We want others to have it. Hope is not something we want to just restrict to ourselves, but we are happy to see that other people also find hope. Paul here in his prayer for the Ephesians said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. We want other people to have this hope. It's a powerful thing. And Paul wanted them to know about that. He wanted them to have that hope which he had. He knew what it would do for them. He knew what they could accomplish if they had hope and if they allowed that hope to be real. 1 Peter 1 in verse 4, if I can get over here to it. This hope we have is, according to Peter, something that is imperishable. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's hope. It's not going anywhere. It's there. It's real. And it's joyful, and it brings us boldness. Now, in Miles' trials, as we already looked back in Romans chapter 5, we'll read down a little bit here in 1 Peter 1. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Yes, they are distressing. That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's our hope. That in spite of the sufferings we undergo down here, we have hope. We have, and it's joyful. But it's also living. It's something that is alive. Back up in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's a hope that is constantly alive and invigorating us, giving us this boldness, giving us this way of getting through these trials of life. It's a better way of life. It produces within us something that is better. We looked at Hebrews 11 in the previous lesson. We turn back over there this time, though, for some verses after where we stopped before. And he talks about all of this. Talking about Abraham again. Consider that God is able to raise men from the dead, even from which he also raised him back as a type. He blessed Jacob and Esau regarding things to come. So he talks about Jacob. He talks about Joseph. There's a better way of life God was providing through this lineage of Abraham. Now, unfortunately, some Christians make this a low priority, and they shouldn't. Gaining heaven should be a priority. That should be what it is all about. This hope is alive, and it is a devotion to God, wherein we give more attention to our spirit instead of the body. A lot of people exercise the body, and that's good. Paul said bodily exercise. It's got some profit to it. He said it profiteth little. But exercising ourselves unto godliness, that has both a promise for this life and the life which is to come. So which is more important? That we have good, strong bodies or good, strong spirits? Well, it's more important to have a good, strong spirit. Again, not to dissuade anyone from having a good, strong body. That's good, too. But that's temporary. As we feed our soul and as we strengthen our soul, we are partaking of this living hope. Be reverent. Paul told Timothy among the things he needed to teach those that he would be coming in contact with was something about being prayerful and reverent. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. He's talked about it. He said, now prescribe and teach these things that are prayerful, these things that will make a commitment. You be thoughtful about those things, Timothy. Hope involves generosity. It's living. It takes our mind off of material things. We focus more on spiritual things when we remind ourselves of the hope that we have. And so our life is different. Our whatever we have is not just for us to enjoy, but we don't mind sharing with those who do not have, who legitimately have needs. We don't mind helping them because, after all, that's what it's all about. Look what Jesus did for us. And so Paul told them, Timothy, to instruct those, verse 17, who are rich in this present world, not to be conceited or to fix their hope. There's our word. Don't fix your hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. And so use what wealth we have properly. We go back to 1 Peter 1 again. Our hope is to be completely fixed upon Jesus Christ. That's the source of our hope. That's the one that makes hope real for us. Therefore, gird your mind for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, folks, we can't miss this. There's so many things that can be said about our hope, this living hope involving so many things. And finally, one other thing that it involves with respect to our living is purity. Let everyone that has this hope on him, in 1 John 3 and verse 3, purify himself. I left off verse 3. Purify himself. Why? Without that purity, we have no hope. That's what he's saying, 1 John 3 and verse 3. 2 and 3, beloved, we are children of God. It's not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we'll be like him because we'll see him just as he is. And everyone who has that hope, the hope of seeing him as he is, purifies himself just as he is pure. So it's a necessity that we purify ourselves. How can we face God someday and try to explain away the impurity in our lives? Well, of course, we can't. So purity, very, very important component of the hope that we have. And finally, our hope is persevering. Strength. We gain strength. Paul said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The hope in heaven gets us through these valleys, gets us through these times of temptation when we feel like I can't go any further. I don't have a desire to go any further. You ever reach those points sometimes? You don't think you can make it. You can. Because this hope that sustains us helps us to persevere. Helps us to keep going. We're not like the atheist we talked about at the beginning of the lesson, who simply thinks, well, if I could take care of a few business matters in my life, I don't mind dying. The records that are out there of atheists at the point of death seem to suggest otherwise. One of them one time supposedly prayed, God, if there is a God, save my soul if I have a soul. That's not much hope going into eternity, is it? But what else have they got? They don't have anything. It gives us the courage to risk everything that we have for the sake of Christ. That Revelation 2:10, and be faithful unto death. Faith. We have faith that perseveres. As the song says, heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be. Earth holds no treasures, but perish with using. Heaven holds all to me. We'll still believe in God no matter what happens. Yes, this earthly house, as Paul described it, our body, it's falling apart. The older you get, the more you realize the truth of that passage over there in 2 Corinthians 4. It's falling apart. Should be verse 16 instead of 6. My aunt, who lived to be almost 95. No, she did live to be 95. Toward the end of her life, that's what she'd say once in a while. Well, my body's falling apart on me. Said, everything's wearing out. My teeth are wearing out. My eyes are wearing out. Everything's wearing out. And we would laugh a little bit about it. Now, there's a woman that had a lot of hope, a lot of faith. But the fact is, it was. It was wearing out. So is mine. So is yours. But we have a better place, according to this text. We have a building from God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have another house someday for our soul to reside in that will not be subject to all this decay and everything that this one is. And so we eagerly wait for that. Well, the hope of heaven, it's strong. It can help us get through things that we otherwise don't think we can persevere in at all. Joy in having fled for refuge to Jesus Christ. And we want others to have this hope as well. So we live in hope. And that may rub off on them. They may see that and say, I want what you have. How can I get it? If you're here this morning, again, subject to the invitation, please respond as we stand and sing.